Why did you type out a word that you didn't know what it was?
I didn't.
Look, I know you're
sick. I didn't type it out. I was writing it out.
Paste?
I was writing it, and then I forgot to finish my sentence.
And I just love that. And
something.
That was what was great. The other one that Chris had that was like an instant classic? Oh, we changed the name.
Well, that
you
one.
Changed the name of someone like a head coach or something.
Yeah. Someone in a script. And
I was like, I'll get back to that later.
I changed it right before the show started. That was my favorite. That was my favorite of all time. Chris is having a rough morning. He didn't feel well. It's just kind of, it's the circle of life here with the lowdown. I came back from vacation. I actually went on vacation not feeling well, came back feeling worse. Jason was getting beaten up by it. Now it's Chris's turn to
welcome Chris
to deal with.
I appreciate it.
Whatever is going on.
We got to stop those pre-show butterfly kisses before the.
Apparently,
we do.
I wouldn't go that far. We are an incredibly professional radio broadcast here on KHDK, folks, and we thank you so much for being with us here on the Lowdown. The excellence of execution. One Jason H.W. Ross. I am Damian Barling. You can connect with us, and we'd love to connect with you, as we will say on a daily basis. This show is nothing without you. Just go back and listen on Friday. 441140 is the text line, and 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 on the phone lines. I have a feeling, just based off social media this morning and interactions with all the wonderful people in our Twitter village, as Amy Trask would say, are there going to be some people who have some thoughts on last night's football game? And we'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with that.
Oh, and high.
And high,
yeah.
Of course, and high. Yeah. Jay Ross and I got one small thought on the entire NFC. Coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, it turns out Russia has colluded with drugs to get banned from the 2018 Olympics. We'll discuss that. The pre-show question was, does anybody care? I mean, it's the Winter Olympics. I feel like if it was the Summer Olympics, and this very well may happen, it might be a bigger deal. I know there's a Netflix documentary out about Russia doping that I've been encouraged by a number of different people to watch. I just haven't gotten to it yet. I will now that this news is out. So we'll try to touch on that. KD and DMC went at it. What's gotten into Kevin Durant, by the way?
The Warriors in general, just kind of becoming the bad boys.
He is living through that Tupac Shakur tattoo on his calf or thigh or wherever the hell he put it. So we'll get to all of that, NBA, NFL, all of that stuff. Some suspensions have been handed down. That game last night, Jay, first of all, Steelers won.
Somehow, some way.
Steelers beat a below 500 team. With a walk-off field goal.
Losing all game.
Lather, rinse, repeat.
Yep.
We've talked about it with the Pittsburgh Steelers before. It was actually our conversation. I said to you, I think they've hit a stride. I think they're going to win going away. You looked me dead in the face and said, well, they should win.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be going away.
Yeah. I thought Cincinnati took away the big plays, right? Made it. That's where Pittsburgh is explosive. If they get a bunch of big plays, then they get the momentum, and then they can't be stopped. They kept everything underneath. And then, but inside of the entirety of the game, ugly. Yeah. Ugliness and some questionable moves as well.
There was a lot questionable about it, but little of it actually has to do with football. Juju Smith-Schuster laid out a shot on Vontaze Burfict, a shot that 2 years ago was completely legal within the structure of the NFL. He was suspended one game. George Iloka saw he had no shot to stop Antonio Brown there in the end zone on the play to tie the game, so he went at his head. A play that 5 years ago would be totally legal within the structure of the NFL. Both of them are illegal now, and both of them have been suspended one game. Just to recap, Rob Gronkowski did as was referred to on Twitter earlier, a Dusty Rhodes elbow drop from the top rope to the back of a player's head in a play that was dead, on a player that was out of bounds. He was also suspended one game. And this is all in light of a play that saw
Ryan Shazier?
Ryan Shazier go down.
Scary.
Grab. Yeah. That. So you, can I tell you my before we get to my first thought on that, and we actually have the clip. We can play it for you here in a little bit. I'm very critical of barcasters, as you know. I thought Sean McDonough did a terrible job in that situation because I don't feel like as a play-by-play guy, radio or television or otherwise, that you point out a player's legs aren't moving.
You don't think you should?
I do not think you do that because, one, they might have and you didn't see it. Two, you don't bring that attention to that person's family. Hmm. I thought – And again, this is something that I'll have to ask.
How about radio?
I don't. I feel like you can say. I just don't feel like you point out an extremity's not moving because that is. That immediately gets your attention because he grabbed his back. Mm-hmm. Like you usually don't see that. He rolled over and he grabbed his back and he's like you can see him trying to work out the feeling in his hands. And for McDonough to point out that his legs aren't moving, it was like, why are you doing that? Like, don't, like, stop talking. Like, stop doing that. Like, that guy's mom's watching, his wife's watching, his girl's watching, whoever, his side piece is watching. I don't know.
Right.
But I just don't feel like you, I don't feel like you point that out. Now, I could, we all know that of the group, I'm the ultra sensitive one of the group, and maybe that's just me being sensitive. But I just thought that from McDonough was the wrong approach. And that's not the point in the conversation. Yeah. It just popped in my head as we pointed that out. It was an exceptionally violent game last night that saw three personal fouls that has now seen two suspensions. We're looking up at the Antonio Brown hit right now. And the overwhelming feeling walking away from that game last night was, man, we feel gross being football fans. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I put out something along the lines of this sport is disgusting. It was honestly how I felt, particularly coming off of, you know, I've one thing that's frustrating for me is I feel like I champion player safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with that comes, you know, the ogre on social media or the text line. Man, if you don't go watch soccer, dude, go watch tennis, man, if you don't like football. It's like, okay, tough guy, go put on some pads. And let one of those 250-pound machines come at you 40 miles an hour. And then you can talk to me about that. Until then, see, I won't. Like, I don't ever want to feel, I don't want to know the feeling of being in a car crash. Like, mm-hmm. I'll pass. But I realized watching last night's game, I'm an advocate for something I don't think the players care about. We hear so often, J-Rock, we're a brotherhood, man. We a fraternity, dude. We brothers. We in this together. Real? Because we all know Vontaze Burfict is a dirty SOB.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers know it better than anybody.
Absolutely. Victims.
You're going to hear Antonio Brown, who got taken out of a playoff game because of Vontaze Burfict. You're going to hear him in just a second and what he had to say about last night. Then you have Iloka on that Antonio Brown play.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely try to hit him in the head because he knew he couldn't break up the play. But I'm championing a cause that I don't think these players give a crap about.
Well, because the other part, the Juju play, I thought was as close to a perfect football, high-impact block as you could have. But what also is a part of the football's culture, for lack of a better term, problem, the biggest issue I had of his play, because I thought that was a really physical, good block. I didn't like that he stood over him. He's since actually apologized for that.
Sure.
But that to me is, I hit you hard, and I'm going to tell you about it. And, you know, stand mm-hmm. over you. And that's a little mm-hmm. bit of that mentality where I think more people are aware of safety. And Juju is a player, I don't know how many other times in his career he's going to have a moment like that, but the time he did probably get his biggest hit in football, he stood over the guy.
And I don't think it was his biggest hit in football and standing over a guy. I don't think that's what it was. It was Vontaze Burfict. You take Vontaze Burfict
out. It's hard not to know, but that's true.
You put any other player there, I don't think Juju reacts that way.
But he wasn't on the Steelers last year, but he knows
doesn't
the
matter.
Story.
Doesn't matter.
He knows here, about who that is.
Here, this is Juju Smith-Schuster last night in the pool of reporters. You can barely hear a thing Juju is saying, but you're going to hear a voice off in the background – and that's Antonio Brown.
After I seen the replay, I think I should have held back a little bit more and just, you know, from blocking him.
I ain't sure. I got straight cash on
him. I also believe that that's not me. You know,
it's
I should never
stood over
him. I apologize for that. And
it's called with that, karma.
With that being said,
I hope he gets better.
Juju's a rookie. He's trying to get through this interview not get himself in trouble. You could talk about karma. You could talk, because that's the line
right.
That's making the rounds this morning, Antonio. And he went on to say it when the pool reporters came to him. excuse me.
Yeah.
He went on to talk about it's karma. That's all he said. It's karma. Listen to the first part, though. Listen again. Listen to the first thing Antonio Brown says.
A little bit more, and just, you know, from blocking him.
Sure, I got straight cash on it.
Y'all catch that?
Something about straight cash?
I got straight cash on it.
Yeah.
Remember Bounty Gate?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. But that to me is where football has a lot of layers of issues. We can talk about the suspensions that were doled out between yesterday and today. The act of trying to make the sport safer, the players inside that are on it saying stuff like that where celebrating the big hits. I mean, football has their own internal issues.
There used to be there was a segment a few it's many years ago now. It's probably close to 10 years ago. Remember Jacked Up?
Absolutely. It's a great segment. I mean, as a fan, at the time I enjoyed it. Now you're going, okay, that's a bit excessive.
Do you watch those hits differently now than you did 10 years ago,
yeah.
5 years ago?
Yeah. I do. But what's weird about the sport, too, is, again, without being the guy that's getting hit or having the pads on, sometimes you'll go, ooh, and the guy pops up. Mm-hmm. And other times there's something like, well, that didn't look that bad. Why is he still down? Yeah. What happened? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, his head got jammed. But you don't always see it live or in a fast speed. But the eye-popping, big helmet, not helmet to helmet, but pad to pad, body to body, full speed hits, those are always what you notice. But I thought that was, I mean, Juju also said, maybe I should have slowed up a little bit. I mean, he might have got blasted if he didn't.
Right. And I mean, I had to look this up because there's no targeting rule in the NFL. There's like an implied targeting rule, but there's no written targeting rule like there is in college. If you're not familiar, in college, there is a targeting rule, mm-hmm. and officials go back and review the play. If they're going to call targeting, they go back and look at it again. In college, the reason what Juju did last night would have been targeting is because Vontaze Burfict didn't see him, and he is now the equivalent of a defenseless receiver. That's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
He's a defenseless player. And we're going to spend a lot of time reading these texts here. If you want to get in on the conversation, as always, we'd love to hear from you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Straight cash on the fine that he's paying for Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah, that's how I took it to – that's exactly what I took it to mean as well. We got a couple of tweets this morning, one from a mom who was watching the game with her 10-year-old son. And I always ask this. I ask this all the time. I don't have kids. And it's easy for me to say, well, if I did, but I don't. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to be a hypocrite here and try to state something that I don't know to be factual. But if you have kids that are 6 or 7, like, would you want them to play football? I have a godson that's 14, and I'm so thankful that he loves basketball and soccer.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any desire to play football because I don't want him going out there to play football.
Right.
But that's not my decision. Those are his parents' decision.
Sure.
If I have a vote, I vote a hard no.
Yeah.
I'm so curious now if parents want their kids playing football. Text here, make the sport safer and reduce their salaries. Part of the reason they get paid this much is because they literally are gladiators that are paid well.
Mm-mm.
He's not wrong. He's
that's not why they're hitting hard though. Because of the money? You get hit hard in high school. College kids hit each other hard.
They do. To get to the next level.
Hopefully, yeah.
I understand. I don't know if I necessarily agree with the way he framed that text. I completely get what he's saying, and I don't know that he's off.
I'd go the other way. Like Juju could say, I don't have to block him. I'm getting the same check. Well,
but he's a rookie.
Yeah,
he's a rookie who's trying to earn that next deal. Odell Beckham Jr. played on an ankle that was shreds.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He has to.
Right.
Because New York wouldn't pay him. You don't run into these problems in basketball.
Yeah.
You don't run into these problems in baseball. You only run into them in football because those contracts aren't guaranteed. and you'll talk to any
of all sports.
We could call Adrian Ross right now, and I think Adrian Ross, who negotiates contracts for NFL players and has signed a contract as an NFL player, would tell you that piece of paper that owner gives back to you with his signature on it and the general manager's signature on it, you couldn't wipe your ass with it.
Yeah,
that's how worthless it is. That was some old school football. I have to admit, I liked it last night. Juju got a flag for standing over him. That is true. He got a flag for both. I had to go back and watch that today because I wasn't sure. I thought because when you watch the replay, you don't see a flag. He did get a flag for standing over him, and he got a flag for the hit as well. And if you go back and listen to the officials, you hear whoever the head official is, he calls both.
Multiple penalties.
Yeah. 15 yards. Yeah, taunting. That penalty's declined because you can't accept them both or whatever. Yeah. I'm not really sure how that worked, but he did go back and read them both. It's football players know the risk. Yeah, my family's in motocross. We love the sport, but we know the risk. And that kind of goes back to what I said again. That's on the text line at 44-1140. If you want to jump in, it goes back to what I was saying. I feel like maybe I'm championing a cause that the players really aren't concerned about. They're not concerned about player safety.
Yeah, I think they're less concerned about it than we are.
Yeah.
Don't you think? But what's interesting
is... Yeah, I do now. I thought it was a universal feeling, but no, you're right. I do think it's people like me or, you know, listening to Lewis Reddick talk earlier who played football. Listen to, you know, people who have 3 hours
after football,
fail.
Though. I think the retired players are doing a little bit of this, right?
But how many of them are there?
Right,
like
it's not a big enough voice.
Do the think of prominent former players, Romo, mm-hmm. Sims, Collinsworth,
Esiason,
Boomer. Yeah. Wow, gosh, all these guys have one thing in common. By the way, did I just name four quarterbacks? Okay, mm-hmm. How about Ray Lewis? As much as I hate his guts, does he champion
Moss Woodson?
Woodson, great example. Do those guys champion player safety cause? Like I can't imagine. I don't know. For myself, I've never heard Darren Woodson say, or Charles Woodson, excuse
either
me,
Woodson,
or
either
actually
one.
Either one of them.
Yeah,
I've never heard anyone with the last name Woodson.
Yeah.
Mike Woodson either, former coach of the Knicks. I didn't hear them talk about player safety.
Yeah, and again, this is I feel like working in basketball with Henry and Bobby and ex-players, they think it's even softer now. Like, hey, you should be able to foul guys. Like, I feel like people think it was more physical in the past, and so they think that's the way. I don't know if the past players are always the best to represent the current players, but I don't know. It just seems more so we need to be wary of what's going on around your head
mm-hmm.
than, you know, hey, I don't want to see anybody tear a knee or shred their ankle or any of that, but when you're talking about life, longevity and livelihood, I think we're talking more about the head, aren't we?
There's obviously a lot to this conversation here just looking at the text line because everyone's opinion is all over the place, and I absolutely knew it would be. Man, they're coming in fast. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read a couple of these. The game isn't violent because of money. The game has been violent since its inception. Very true. The game is getting safer, but we can't get so dramatic after a few big hits. We appreciate that text right there, and I'll tell you why we're being a little bit dramatic. If that's what you want to call this. So we're having two players suspended coming off of that game. We had two different players carted off, and we're 20 minutes into this show and haven't even acknowledged that I'm pretty confident Joe Mixon was knocked unconscious last night.
Right.
Which has been completely forgotten in all of this.
You're right.
And
I forgot about that, too.
No flag there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a dirty play. The play, that was more of look at what these athletes are. Compared to the 60s, these guys are so big, so fast, and so strong, colliding with each other in a perfectly clean manner. He got hit like in the shoulder. It was like I don't know. I'll need a doctor to tell me how he got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
He falls face first and doesn't move. That's almost ignored today because of what happened later.
Right.
What happened with Shazier?
Oh,
what happened
the headlines.
With Vontaze
Burfict? Right, because
it's a running back that was unconscious.
And I forgot
on the
about
field.
Mixon and saw it, and then when you said it, I went, "Oh, you're right." I mean, I completely forgot about that. But all these other things are getting the headlines.
And here's another text. And again, I knew we were going to deal with these today, but you know, we don't shy away from this stuff. This conversation just tells me how soft society is today. That was great, hard-nosed football. And you know what? We appreciate that text as well. A lot of people feel the way that you do. I don't. I honestly, I feel like such an a-hole when I watch football. Because I know these guys love what they do. And I know, again, I know I'm the sensitive one, and this is a bit dramatic. I know these guys love what they do. I know most of them get paid very well for what they do. But when I see Joe Mixon knock, I go back to, I know I said this to you last week. I was watching Thanksgiving football with my sister while we were on vacation. And my sister must have walked in and out of the room four different times, and every time she came back in, someone else was hurt. They were getting carried off. She's like, why do they still play this game? Like, what is football now? And last night was an indication of it was what old school football people love and what people like me absolutely hate.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people in the middle, which is fine. It's just last night's game was hard to enjoy for me.
Yeah.
And I know not everyone feels that way, but for me it was like, God, man, what are we watching?
You know what's interesting is I hear you saying this. This is kind of not kind of. This is how I feel watching MMA.
You know what? I'm glad you said that.
And there's boxing. I haven't watched boxing in a while. Watched McGregor and Mayweather, but used to watch boxing a lot more. But the intent of that is to hit you and to hurt you. Football, I don't think that's the intent. It happens, and you do get hit all the time. But if it's a sport where it's one-on-one fighting, MMA combat, or whatever, my goal is to hit you and hurt you to get my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, why are we still doing that?
Yeah, the reaction to this is so strong. Can some of y'all call? Because we've got texts coming in by the second. If you want to jump in on the conversation, I promise we'll continue it at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You brought up MMA. I can confirm this isn't your phone number here, but it says, not being a stickler, Damien, but you love UFC.
Yeah.
What's the difference? I feel like with UFC, when a fighter is unconscious, it's over. It's over immediately. There is no there's no standing eight count. There's no regaining your footing. You go down first. We've seen guys go unconscious and get woken up when they hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Fight's over. Doesn't matter. If you're getting beat up and you're not unconscious, you're just getting beat up. Fight's over. It's the referee's judgment. I feel like the damage done. And again, MMA's one thing that we forget is MMA was born in our lifetime. Like, UFC 1 was, like, 1990-something. I just listened to a great 30 for 30 podcast on it. It, you know, I think it's the only sport that was born in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we need to look at Ken Shamrock and Dan Severin in 10 years, 15 years? The same way we looked at Mike Webster
in
those former Steelers?
I feel like that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We absolutely do. I mean, listening to Evander Holyfield talk right now.
Right.
Like you,
Muhammad Ali.
Joe Frazier before he died.
Right.
All of those guys who just threw these massive blows in the 70s. And you look at, you know, Evander Holyfield who fought way past when he should have stopped fighting. And do I think we're going to have to evaluate MMA fighters at that time? Yes, absolutely.
Plus, I 100%. Think as the visual of it, the optics of it, I see a football player laying down on the field. Okay, I know they're hurt. I don't know any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a long, wide shot, trainers around them, laying in padded, you know, helmet, everything. I'm like, they're concerned. I don't know what this is, but he's hurt. We zoom in. I see the box. Eyes are rolled, cut, whatever. You see, it's way more intimate. And
yes.
So I go, that person's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
They're in trouble. Look, they're bleeding, whatever. They're knocked out. We're closer to it, but either way, they're bad situations.
I completely understand that argument. You guys are killing it today. The texts are flowing in. Jeff, Jerry, everybody on hold, as a matter of fact, please just give us a couple of minutes. We'll get to each and every single one of you, and we'll continue here with this conversation on The Lowdown. I feel like this is a horrible thing to mention at the given the conversation that we're having, but we got WWE tickets to give away. Sometimes the punchlines write themselves.
Yeah, we have to do it.
WWE Live Road to WrestleMania. That's happening February 10th at the Golden One Center. We will give these tickets away at the very, very top of the 2 o'clock hour. Please keep these texts coming, man. This is a fascinating conversation regarding last night's football game. There is some King stuff that we're going to try to get to here this hour. Scal Labissiere has been sent to the G League. Papa Giannis is on the road trip. Willie Cauley-Stein is not on the road trip. I assume that's because of his back issue.
Yeah, he just kind of precautionary, flying back cross-country. Didn't practice yesterday, so won't be even in either game, Cleveland or New Orleans.
The questions are never-ending sometimes. Yeah. I got a lot of them, and we'll get to those. We got a lot of people waiting to get in on this conversation, which we greatly appreciate. Jeff, thank you for holding.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
How you fellas doing, man? It's a great show so far.
Thanks, man. We appreciate that.
So I really wanted to talk about the fact that we need to utilize the advancements in technology to look at improving helmets, improving shoulder pads, maybe creating full body suits that allow the free range of motion, but still allow these players to play, you know, at full speed. Because, you know, as athletes know, when you start to play at half speed, you know, you increase the amount of injuries. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So look at things like ballistic gels, neoprene, all these advancements in technology that we can utilize to improve and disperse, you know, energy, dissipate the energy, things of that nature. I think that's, you know, kind of the solution.
Okay. All right, Jeff. We appreciate that, man. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Thank you for holding, man, and thank you for the kind words there to start that. We appreciate that. I want to get to Jerry here as well. I want to get to everybody on hold. I also want to read this text to you. People using the boxing and UFC comparison to football are missing the point. The entire game plan for those sports is to hurt your opponent. They're signing up for that. Yes, there is a lot of aggression in football, but people need to stop acting like the violence isn't a problem. If it keeps up, no one is going to want to play football 20 years from now, maybe less.
And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
We've gotten a lot. The overwhelming response is people don't want their children playing football. Again, I understand we're talking with a small segment of the population. We're just talking about our little low-down family here. But I've gotten a lot. There's a number of them said they can't play till high school, kind of following that pattern there. Jerry, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey, on the subject of the hitting and all the stuff going on in the game, especially the other night's game, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, I think you need to take a look at least one of the coaches, you know, who seems to embellish in the fact that his team goes out there and plays hard-hitting games. And if you take a look at their body of work over the past couple seasons, you'll see a lot of helmet-to-helmet shots and those big jacked-up hits and stuff like that. He seems to espouse playing like that, and I think it's ruining the game. And I don't get off on these supposed grudge matches between the Bengals and the Steelers, or in our next week's game, the Ravens and the Steelers. I think it's trash, garbage football, and it takes away from the game. And I think if we truly want to clean the game up, we need to look at certain coaches who seem to coach that way. And that's my opinion.
Okay, Jerry, we appreciate that. I got to be honest. I don't know which of the two coaches he's talking about.
I was
about.
Assuming he was talking about Marvin Lewis, but that was an assumption.
I feel like he could be talking about Tomlin, too.
But that, to me, would go down to, like, position coaches and that kind of thing, too.
Yeah. Here's a text for you, Jay Ross. Bros, I really like your show, but are you guys up here whining about the NFL again? People getting hurt. Nobody gives a crap. You're going to make us turn the channel. Go watch your soccer. Us, I guess he's speaking for everybody. Got anything on that?
I'll leave that.
Okay. Gabriel, what's up, man?
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Great.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, two things. I couldn't disagree a little more with the second caller before about the grudge matches and the hitting. As a former defensive back, strong safety, I lived for knocking someone, leveling them. I mean, I fancy myself as a cross hybrid between Ronnie Lott and Sid Vicious in every snap I ever played all the way into junior college. My goal was to level that person and have their helmet hit the ground first and their feet hit second. And I missed the guys like Ronnie Lott and Chuck Cecil and Steve Atwater and John Lynch and guys that would come across the middle and create fear for the opposing receivers to dare to go across the middle. So I think it's taken away from the game. The one positive that I do like of the rule changes is the head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet, leading with the tip of the head. I think that is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think the rules are taking away from the game, and and statistics show that there's a decline in the viewing of the NFL. So I miss the big hits. I'm not a huge fan of the jacked-up segment on ESPN, even though they celebrated it, and it seemed like overnight after the Will Smith movie, people became aware of it. I never looked at it differently, and anyone with a brain would know that these football players are going to sustain long-term damage.
Yeah.
We just finally put a name to it. So the casual fan and the people that now paid attention, oh, there's dangerous and long-term effects. Anyone with any semblance of intelligence, guys, knew that, always.
Gabriel, thanks. Man, that's thank you so much for the call, man, and thank you for listening. We greatly appreciate it. That is a fantastic point. We have a name for it now, whereas maybe we didn't before. You know, concussions is so broad because now we're hearing, well, have you ever got your bell rung?
Right.
Well, then you had a concussion. Whereas before, if you ask me if I've ever had a concussion, no. Have you ever gotten your bell rung? Well, yeah. Well, then you had a concussion. Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I guess that's the difference. I don't know that. Is this the difference between mild? Like, I always laugh at the term, oh, he has a mild concussion.
Right, right.
Like, wait a minute. We're talking about the dude's brain. Like, what is mild about his brain?
Yeah. And when Gabriel said that, what made me think too, Damien, is I wonder if, because the helmet-to-helmet contact now is so highlighted and targeting in college is highlighted, that is still in its infancy, basically. I mean, really, it's not that – hasn't we haven't really been highlighting that long. Will that trickle down over years of playing and preparing? Because to me, watching – like the hardest hits now seem to be either with your head, leading with your head, or like a guy flying in with his shoulder. You rarely see, to me – people, like when you're used to taught years ago how to play, wrap them up. Like coming in just as hard as you did, but with two arms around a guy. It's usually I'm leading with my right shoulder or left shoulder first. I can't do it with my head, but I'm going to hit you with my shoulder and just try to either hit you so hard the ball comes out, the ball's incomplete, whatever. I wonder if over time people will be coached differently on how to tackle. I know there's a smaller target window, but how to actually do that?
I want to get to Ken here on the phone lines. And if you want to get in on the conversation, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I do want to read this text to you, Jay Ross. The only way to fix this problem is to increase the penalties for targeting and taunting, make it 25 yards. And for your second one of the season, you're ejected and miss a game. That idea is why I was so frustrated and so angry about the Rob Gronkowski suspension yesterday. That's why I thought the one-game suspension wasn't enough. I'm looking at Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree right now because they're showing it to extenuate whatever point they're making up there. And they're, like, throwing punches that aren't connecting.
Right.
They're, like,
they're
grabbing helmet. And it's like, okay, you tried to suspend them two games. The NFL disciplinary, that's a whole other conversation
right.
that we need to have. But that right there is why I was so frustrated. What we saw last night is why I was so frustrated with the fact that Gronk is appealing this,
right.
by the way. Can you imagine if he's not suspended a game after that? Like, what's worse of the three most prominent, well, three suspensions in the last 2 days? Gronk, Iloka, or Juju?
That's the order of the worst was Gronk, Iloka, to Juju, to me.
Right.
Juju Ioka, was the closest to a real football play.
Iloka was a dirty play on the football field.
Yeah.
At least I think it was dirty because I think he targeted Antonio Brown's head in the end zone knowing that they had no shot of breaking up that pass. And remember, that was a critical moment. Cincinnati's playoffs hopes were on the line. They were playing for Marvin Lewis. Whatever we think about Marvin Lewis, that team seems to love him. So don't discount it was by any means necessary yesterday. Juju Smith-Schuster, you're right. That 2 years ago, no flag, maybe a taunting flag. Nope, nothing involved there. It's just a hard football play. Gronk, egregious on all levels, and they all got the same one-game suspension.
Honestly, I don't know what Juju Smith-Schuster's position coach will tell him how to do that differently. What does he do differently?
Make sure the defender's looking. Like, I don't know. Like,
go midsection?
I don't.
Go lower?
It was a clean hit in terms of that. He didn't hit him in the head. I don't know,
I
Jason.
I thought it was a great play.
I don't know. Ken, thank you for being patient, man. We really appreciate it.
Totally agree with you 100%. Juju got caught up in what's going on now because it may be an illegal hit as far as, you know, he hit an unsuspecting player, but he hit him below his neck. He hit him cleanly in the chest, and it was the kind of hit, like you said, 2 years ago, he'd have been celebrated on the bench. And quite frankly, it's hard for me to feel any kind of sympathy for Vontaze Burfict. This is a guy that has over $300,000 in fines, but remember, he's never been suspended other than that one time this year when he accidentally touched a referee. So a lot of his hits, he just got suspended for hits on people. Not anything other than that, just hits on people that he shouldn't have had. And when he knocked out Antonio Brown a couple of years ago, that's why he was screaming karma. That kind of stuff comes back to you. So it's hard for me to feel any sympathy for him. But your previous caller brings up an interesting point, and that is the improvement of the equipment has led to some of the stuff that you see. I'm an old guy. When I played, basically the inside of your helmet was a strap, okay? It was a hollow shell. And because it was, the only thing they had was the fittings that basically allowed that helmet to fit on your head. But it was hollow. And so you didn't see guys launch themselves into guys because they knew that hollow shell really wasn't doing anything for them. So you had to learn the fundamentals, you know, hit with your shoulder, wrap up. As the equipment improved, as they started putting padding in the helmets and making the helmet seem like they allowed you to be bulletproof and invincible, that's when you saw a lot of the launching from guys because they were using the helmet as a weapon, feeling that they were protected with all the padding and everything that they had done to improve the quality of the helmet. I think what you'll see now is because the safety aspect of the game is going to be emphasized so much, they'll get back to the tackling with your shoulder, the wrapping up. It won't be so much about the big hit. It'll be about getting the guy down. And when they get back into the mode of getting the guy down rather than big hit, then you get back to the fundamentals of tackling and taking the correct angles and stuff like that. But the other thing is you cannot take the physicality out of football. No matter what you do, no matter how you try to do it, a certain aspects of the game demands physicality. And on the offensive and defensive lines, that is where the game eventually is always determined. So you're not going to be able to take that away. But for the skill position people on the edges, there are things you could do, and you should do those things to make the game safe. Thanks a lot, guys.
Always on point, Ken. Yep. We appreciate you. We'll come back. There are Kings things to talk about, and there's a couple of people who want to chime in before we move along. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more of the Lowdown next. We really did have a feeling this was going to be a dominant part of today's show, and you have just been so fantastic and on the text line and the phones. Hey, Heath, listening on the app, man. We appreciate that.
Get the app.
Yeah, absolutely. Download the KHCK app in your app store, whether it's on the iPhone, Samsung, whatever your phone is, whatever your app store is. Just search KHDK. Download us. If you wouldn't mind, hit the stars. Preferably five. Don't get mad at us and only hit one. Jason is reason enough for five stars, regardless of how you feel about me.
Nah, come on.
Come on. There's actually a review for our podcast that says, I love Jason, but that other guy.
Who is the other guy?
Well, I told you what Marty Mack referred to me when he introduced me as I don't know any
Marty's
way.
Marty's got a way with words.
There's no way of paraphrasing it. I'll do my best. We're out after a Kings game. I run into Marty Mack and Marty's got his buddy with him and says, hey, this is my man, and he puts his arm around me. You know Jason Ross, right, in the afternoon? And the guy goes, yeah. Well, this the other mother. You figure out the rest of the sentence, and that's how he
that
referred
sounds like
to
Marty.
Me. And that's I just think that's what we should be now, Jason Ross and the other guy.
Yeah.
God, there's a lot. We do need to talk about the Sacramento Kings, and I promise we will. Florida State, they've got their head coach. Willie Taggart.
Yeah.
Willie Taggart is the most under, like, I'm telling you, Willie Taggart sounds like he's opening for Garth Brooks at his big show at in Arlington.
Right.
It's just Willie Taggart does not sound like the name of a football coach. But he's going to be Florida State's next head coach.
So now Oregon's on the dominoes.
Oregon's
just
available.
Yes.
Hey, does your boy
Chip?
Does he have a clause?
Hang on. Well, he could go.
Okay, is Chip undercover pissed off right now?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Positive.
He got paid.
He did get paid. This is Oregon, Jason.
I don't know. He could be undercover.
Let's wrap up this conversation a little bit. Greg, we appreciate you being patient, man. What's happening, my friend?
What's up, Dave? First, I want to give a shout out to Kenny. He's my favorite caller. Love hearing him.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yes, sir. So I want to touch on concussions and how severe they actually are if you've ever experienced them.
I don't. I've never been diagnosed.
Yeah.
I don't think I have.
I'm concussed every day.
Well, let me give you a little rundown here. It's a junior year, first varsity game. I'm pinning a cornerback or a quarterback on the sideline, and I get cracked back. The guy flattens me out. I'm laying there trying to put the pieces together. I get up, go to the sideline, go to the doctor, and I said, all right, doc. They said, I got to talk to you before I can go back in. He said, Greg, I just talked to you. I said, oh, yeah, played it off, went and played the game. The following week, I hit a guy in practice, and that was it. I was done, D. I sat down against the wall, and I was trying to put the pieces together, who I was, where I was at, what I was doing. I knew I was conscious, but that's all I knew. And my symptoms were comparable to, like, dementia. So, yes, it can definitely affect the brain. Did it stop me from playing? No. I played 4 more years, junior college, and my main goal was to lay guys out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. That's a pretty detailed account, man.
Scary.
We appreciate you. Yeah, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, man. Thank you for listening, and thanks for the call. Tim, you're going to wrap us up here on this conversation, man. What's happening?
Yeah, like the previous caller, Ken's my favorite too, but I got to disagree with him on the one point about Juju's hit being clean. And the reason why I don't think it's clean is because they expanded the defenseless player rule to crackback block.
Yeah.
And by my definition, him coming in and cracking back that hard isn't a clean play. And there's a play that involved Larry Fitzgerald. It was about a year or two ago where he has the opportunity to light somebody up, and he just kind of stands there and takes it, and they just collide a little bit, not a big hit. And that's the clean play on the crackback. And so that's where I disagreed with him.
Okay.
We appreciate you, Tim. Thank you so much. I totally got sidetracked by the text line because it says Willie Taggart. Wasn't he in Beverly Hills Cop?
That was one of the cops. I don't think it was Willie, but it was Taggart.
It was Taggart. Yeah. Yeah. How did I not get that?
That's where I thought you were going first before you said he was opening it.
No, he sounds like a country. Willie Taggart sounds like a country artist that we'd hear the song 47 times when we go in the hallway. How about this text? Pretty timely here on the text line, and we're going to get to the Kings. We're going to get to the NFC. We'll talk about the actual product on the field, the non-violent aspect of NFL, whatever the non-violent aspect may be. This text here at 441140. I love your show, and I catch it on the podcast all the time. But, man, I miss Ken. Hashtag naw, player.
Nice hashtag.
That's right there. Well, Ken actually chimed in on this conversation here through.
He's always listening.
And, Ken, we love you, my man. We miss you as well. Guys, this is from Ken Rudolph. Guys, you know, I have ridiculous confidence and aggression. That's all true. Oh, there's more to the text. Sorry. I thought he was just reminding us.
End of text.
Guys, you know, I have ridiculous confidence and aggression. All of that came from playing football as an undersized kid.
Yeah.
I want my son to have the same experience he's playing starting at age 9. Okay? My question to Mr. Rudolph would be, is that your call or is that Mrs. Rudolph's call?
That's a family conversation.
Because I know Mrs. Rudolph enough to know that I don't think she's going to feel that way.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't think she's going to.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this when you asked, I'd be more of a fan of kids playing at high school, but the problem at high school, like I played 1 year, just 1 year, freshman football, I didn't have the mentality for it. But you have such a disparity in size at that age. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's seen it. Some kids grow early. This kid's a freshman. He's 6'2", 185 pounds. This kid's 5'2", 100 pounds.
Yeah.
They're playing the same sport?
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah. But I agree with Ken in some sense. You learn a lot of things in being a part of a team. In football, it toughens you up whether you want to or not. But it's you have to have the right mentality for that sport.
Text here. Sorry, Jay Ross. Bring Chip back. Go Ducks.
That's fine.
Willie Taggart was the guy who teamed up with Axel and Billy and Beverly Hills Cop. Do you mean President Ford? I wanted to read those two together.
Yeah.
You get the reference.
Does he play
Have
it?
You seen? You haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop 2, have you? You have not. Gosh dang
no,
it.
No, you can't.
You
can't
have not
get on
seen
that.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
No.
I haven't seen one or two.
You haven't seen one?
You're not allowed.
You haven't seen Hoosiers.
I'm never going to see Hoosiers.
Haven't seen MacGruber.
I have time.
I stated that I haven't seen Shawshank Redemption. I have. I had that confused with something else. For some reason, I thought Shawshank Redemption was a war movie. That's the prison movie with Samuel. Absolutely. I've seen that.
Not with
Samuel?
No, it's with
Morgan Freeman, the other black guy. They all look alike. What do you want me to do?
At Damian
Barkley. I have a concussion. We'll come back, man. We're going to reset. Thank you, the text. You can keep them coming, man, but we're going to switch topics. There's actually quite a few Kings texts sprinkled in here. In fact, Jason, there's a lot of confused Kings fans. You're going to have to provide us with some answers next.